Welcome to Whiskey Cask, Cask Strength Conversation, featuring news and interviews from the world of whiskey. I'm Mark Gillespie. This is episode number 458 for December 28th, 2013. Coming up in a few minutes.
I was filling pints when I was 8 or 10 years of age. Now, I know it was illegal, but I was still doing it, which you couldn't do today.
If Mary O'Neill didn't exist, Hollywood would have had to dream her up. Mary has owned the Tap Tavern in Kinsale, Ireland for almost 40 years now, and her family has owned the place since it was licensed in 1886. I met Mary and her son Brian back in September, and you'll get to meet them on this week's Whiskey Cast in depth as we wind up 2013. I'll also have the calendar of events, this week's Your Voice, and in the What I'm Tasting This Week department, well, you'll just have to wait and see. That's all coming up on this week's Whiskey Cast.
Whiskey Cast. Proudly brought to you by Redbreast. The definitive single pot still Irish whiskey. Join the Stillhouse at singlepotstill.com and receive an exclusive whiskey tasting journal.
Let's start off with the week's news. It's brought to you by Glenmorangie. The Scotch whiskey industry lost two of its legends this week. Charles Gordon, the former chairman and life president of William Grant & Sons, died earlier this week in New York City at the age of 86. He was the great-grandson of William Grant and joined the family business as a director in 1953. 10 years later, he led the push to make Glenfiddich a global single malt brand and also spearheaded the construction of the Girvan Grain Whiskey Distillery. Edgar Bronfman Sr. also died in New York City this week. The former chairman and CEO of Seagram's was 84 years old. He took over the family's liquor business from his father in 1971 and built Seagram's into one of the world's largest drinks companies. His son later sold the business to Vivendi in 2000, and it was eventually broken up with pieces going to Diageo, Pernod Ricard, and other buyers. There's another potential bidder for White & Mackay. India's Economic Times reports Suntory has expressed an interest in buying the unit, which United Spirits is being forced to spin off as part of its merger into Diageo. Suntory joins former White & Mackay owner Vivian Immerman's Vasari Group in the bidding. Suntory owns Morrison Bowmore and would likely fold the White & Mackay operations into MBD. British competition regulators are still considering Diageo's plan to spin off the White & Mackay blended scotch business, along with Jura, Fettercairn, and the Invergordon Grain Distillery. Diageo and United Spirits are hoping to hang on to the Dalmore and Tamnivoulin distilleries and their maturing whiskey stocks to supply their whiskey needs in India and other export markets. Last week's Karnataka High Court ruling blocking Diageo's acquisition of some United Spirits shares is not expected to have an impact on the plans to sell off White & Mackay. There's word that a dram could help prevent arsenic poisoning in Bangladesh, but in this case, the dram is based on a distillery byproduct. The Guardian reported this week that dram filters, invented by Aberdeen University professor Lee Cassidy, could be deployed in Bangladesh in 2014. She came up with the concept of using distillery draft as an organic filtering material to clean contaminated water, and a Canadian NGO wants to use the filters to provide clean water in Bangladesh. By the way, DRAM stands for Device for the Remediation and Attenuation of Multiple Pollutants. But since distillery draft isn't readily available in Bangladesh, the filters will use local ingredients like rice hulls or coconut shells. A DRAM unit can be installed in a village's existing water well for about $10, and the filter only needs to be changed every 4 to 5 months. Whiskey Advocate has announced its annual awards. The magazine's staff named Diageo its Distiller of the Year for its investment in Scotch whiskey production capacity, along with its investments in North America and India. Michael Urquhart of Gordon & MacPhail was named the Lifetime Achievement Award winner this year. He's been a regular guest on Whiskey Cast over the years, and you can hear my interviews with him in the archives at WhiskeyCast.com. Whiskey Advocate also gave out its Whiskies of the Year awards in various categories. Some of the winners included the Macallan Ruby, Talisker Storm, Redbreast 21, K Cavalant's Solist ex-bourbon cask, the Four Roses 2013 limited edition small batch bourbon, and Weiser's Legacy Canadian whiskey. Finally, last time around, we had the bonus question from a Twitter tasting scavenger hunt and trivia contest, all based on Davin DeKergamo's book, Canadian Whiskey, The Portable Expert. Here's the question once again from Graham McKinney.
Why is yeast not actually an ingredient in whiskey?
And here's the answer, straight from page 43 of Davin's book, where he explains that technically yeast is not an ingredient in whiskey, since it's removed from the mash during distilling. Yeast acts as a processor that takes grain and water and converts them into alcohol, carbon dioxide, and congeners. 63 people submitted their answers to all of the questions and the bonus question. We'll have the results on an upcoming episode after the holidays. And you can keep up with the latest whiskey news all week long at whiskeycast.com.
The news is brought to you by Glenmorangie, continuing the Caskmasters project. You've helped us choose the whiskey, and you've helped us choose the name. Next, help us choose the packaging. Sign up online at glenmorangie.com.
This week's Your Voice is brought to you by Highland Park. Fortunately, there were no reports of brutality charges being filed against me for butchering that Ben Romick Christmas carol last time around. The Joanne McInnes tweeted that the dogs howling in the background were hilarious and called it the best Christmas carol ever. I think Joanne needs to listen to more Christmas music. Meanwhile, Tony McIntosh in Scotland responded to the story on Etienne Bouillon's 76.1% ABV Belgian Owl single malt. I suggested that it may well be one of the strongest whiskies ever sold. Tony said he'd tasted an Auchentoshan 3-year-old at 77% ABV, but further questioning revealed that that was a cask sample, not a commercial bottling. Now, I imagine there's a pretty good chance that you might have received a bottle of something special for Christmas. Forrest Colwyn shared a photo of his something special on our Facebook page, a bottle of Pappy Van Winkle bourbon with the comment, "What a Merry Christmas indeed." And in case you're wondering, I didn't find any whiskeys under the tree. In fact, my daughters did something even better. They found an artist who paints barrel heads and had one painted with the WhiskeyCast logo for my office. This week, I'd love to know what your final dram of 2013 and the first dram of 2014 will be. You can share them on the Your Voice page at WhiskeyCast.com, on our Facebook page, or you can email me. My address is comments@whiskeycast.com. The comments of the week are brought to you this time around by Highland Park.
My name is Daryl Haldane, Global Brand Advocate for Highland Park. Go onto our website at highlandpark.co.uk and upload your photo at Inner Circle to have your face on the walls of the Highland Park Distillery.
I hope you'll indulge me for just a minute. This has been a bittersweet week at our house. My mother-in-law, Martha Filburn, was hospitalized in Arizona Monday night after suffering a massive stroke. She's been unconscious all week long, and my wife, Christina, flew to Arizona on Christmas Day to be with her. I appreciate the messages of support that I've received from a lot of people this week, and I'd like to ask you to do something really important now. Take a few minutes, go on the web, and learn the symptoms of a stroke. Keep them in mind because strokes can happen with no warning and the signs are not always obvious immediately, but the need for emergency treatment is immediate. Spend a few minutes now. It may help save your life or the life of someone you love someday. Thanks. Time now for the calendar of events. It's brought to you as always by Laphroaig. Let's open up the date book for 2014 now. While not all of the major whiskey events have announced their dates yet, we do know most of the big ones. Of course, the year starts off with the Victoria Whiskey Festival in British Columbia, January 16th through the 19th. Whiskey Live London is March 21st and 22nd. Whiskey Live New York is April 9th. The Spirit of Speyside Festival will be May 1st through the 5th. The Isla Festival of Malt and Music is May 25th through the 31st. The Kentucky Bourbon Festival is September 16th through the 21st, and Whiskey Fest New York is on October 29th. Right now, there are more than 250 different events on the searchable calendar at whiskeycast.com. It's brought to you by Laphroaig. Take a virtual distillery tour at Laphroaig.com, and while you're there, become a friend of Laphroaig and claim your own square foot of Isla.
Whiskey Cast, brought to you by Redbreast, the definitive single pot still Irish whiskey. In conversation with Liam O'Leary, distiller, Redbreast single pot still Irish whiskey.
My wife, she has a cousin, a priest, up in Ballyfermot in Dublin. And he comes down every year, especially if Cocker in the All-Ireland final, you know. He makes it his business every year to come down for, by the way, to watch the match. But I know he comes down because he gets a couple of bottles of Redbreast off me every year, you know. And we have a few Redbreasts, and we'd hopefully Cocker will be in the All-Ireland final like they were last year. And he's talking about coming again this year anyway, because I think the priests like their red breast anyway, nice and smooth, and you know, not too harsh. It's a lovely smooth whiskey.
Red breast, the definitive single pot still Irish whiskey. Those in the know red breast.
Irish pubs are legendary, and you'll probably find a few in most major cities around the world. But of course, the real thing can only be found in Ireland. The trouble is, the classic Irish pub is an endangered species. It's not only the economy, but progress. When I was in Ireland back in September, I found an exception. The Tap Tavern in Kinsale, County Cork, was licensed back in 1886. It's been handed down through four generations of the same family so far. The fifth generation is waiting in the wings. Mary O'Neill has owned the tap since 1974 and started working for her aunt. Well, let's just say it was more than a few years ago.
I was filling pints when I was 8 or 10 years of age. Now, I know it was illegal, but I was still doing it, which you couldn't do today. The times have changed. Everybody knew everybody then, but everybody don't know everybody now.
How'd you learn to pull a pint?
My aunt, she would tell you if you weren't pouring, holding the glass properly. So you'd have to hold the glass properly. She'd tell you if you weren't doing the thing right.
Mary's son Brian does most of the heavy lifting at the tap these days, but had to wait to learn the art of pulling a proper pint.
I can't remember. I can just remember looking up at the Murphy tap, thinking, you know, someday I'll be able to reach up there and pull that tap and fill a pint. And the time came and I did fill it. But I can remember looking up at it, but I can't remember my first time filling a pint. I've always done it.
The tap isn't just a pub. It's a piece of Kinsale's history and spirits, literally. Brian helps lead ghost tours around town during the summer.
There's a huge amount of history in Kinsale. I mean, apart from St. Malto's Church, a stone throw away, we have Desmond Castle, which was built in the 1500s. We have Charles Fort, which was built in the 1600s. There's a wealth of history in Kinsale, and the Tap Tavern is just a small part of it.
Brian's being a bit modest. A few years ago, they wanted to build a storeroom out behind the bar, along the wall with St. Malto's. But history intervened in the form of a well that was dug back in the 1500s. And Ireland's Historic Preservation Agency insisted on preserving the well. Today, it draws even more tourists to the tap. That was one of the few attempts at modernizing the place, except for taking out a couple of booths, they're called snugs in Ireland, a few years ago. The tap is much like it was when Mary took over from her aunt back in 1974.
We actually had plans to renovate the bar back in the 1970s. If you can remember back in the 1970s, you know, it was lovely old bars like this, and they were ripped asunder, and lounge bars were put in with carpeted floors and formica counters and fluorescent lighting. Well, we had plans for that, but thankfully we couldn't afford it. So the bar has remained unchanged because we were too poor to change it, and now we're delighted.
That kept the tap from meeting the same fate as dozens, if not hundreds, of other local pubs around Ireland.
They're all imitation, all plastic, everything. But we are going to leave our bar as we go. It is almost the same as when I grew up.
I'm now serving people whose fathers and grandfathers used to come into the bar when I was a child. You know, so as a matter of fact, when Annie Barry owned the place, my mother's aunt, she she had a guy working for her called Anthony O'Neill. Just, you know, doing the odd night here, the odd night there. Anthony's daughter, Jenny, now works in the bar. You know, and, you know, I have no doubt when Jenny has children in 25 years' time, they'll be working in the bar. Well, I hope so, anyway.
Brian studied computer science at university, but the call of Kinsale and his family's tradition brought him back home. He wouldn't have it any other way.
So many things change in Kinsale every year. Businesses open up, businesses close down. Bars are bought, bars are sold. But the tap is a constant. You know, if you decide to leave Kinsale and go to live in Australia and come back in 20 years' time, the Tap Tavern will be here. You know, it's a constant, and that is very important to a town where things are constantly changing and evolving and getting better. But there's always the constant, there's always the Tap Tavern.
By the way, Brian's computer skills did come in handy. The Tap has a website, taptavern.com, and you'll find a link at whiskeycast.com. That's also where you can get a look at the Tap on the latest episode of WhiskeyCast HD, too. And that's this week's WhiskeyCast In Depth. It seems appropriate to start off the What I'm Tasting This Week department with an Irish whiskey, a Middleton single cask bottled for the Whiskey Exchange in London that was distilled back in 1991 and bottled just short of 21 years old at 54.1% ABV. The nose is aromatic and intense with vanilla, linseed oil, fresh fruits, berries, kiwi fruit, and hints of oak and cedar. The taste is fruity and spicy with peaches, grapes, papaya, and mango notes, along with cinnamon, vanilla, dark chocolate, and a touch of ginger. The finish is long and fruity with orange peel and an oakiness that becomes more prominent with time, along with touches of honey and vanilla. I'm scoring the Middleton 1991 single cask bottled for the Whiskey Exchange a 93. Next up, Kilhoman's 2007 vintage took top honors in the Whiskey Advocate Awards for Islay's this year. It's bottled at 46% ABV, and the nose may be the peatiest I've ever seen on a Kilhoman yet, along with notes of heather, tar, and seaweed notes. The taste has a great smoky peatiness, hints of basil and thyme, honey, and a good maltiness with touches of vanilla, too. The finish is long and smoky. This may be the best Kilhoman I've tasted yet. I'm scoring the Kilhoman 2007 vintage a 93. And finally, I mentioned Old Pulteney's 1990 vintage when it was released in November and received a sample recently. It's bottled at 46% ABV and is a blend of ex-bourbon and Spanish oak ex-sherry casks. The nose has notes of driftwood smoke, briny wet sand, ginger, vanilla, dried apricots, and a hint of clove. The taste is peppery and smoky with ginger and cinnamon spices, lemon and black tea, dried apricots, vanilla, and clove notes. The finish is long and tart with lemon, black tea, and honey notes. I'm scoring the Old Pulteney 1990 vintage a 92. I'm adding these tasting notes to the searchable list of 1,100 different whiskeys at whiskeycast.com. That's also where you'll find WhiskeyCast HD and WhiskeyCast Virtual Tastings episodes, the latest news and the calendar of events, along with a complete archive of past episodes. You can follow me on Facebook and Twitter at WhiskeyCast, and my email address for questions and suggestions is comments@whiskeycast.com.
WhiskeyCast, proudly brought to you by Redbreast, the definitive single pot still Irish whiskey. Join the stillhouse at singlepotstill.com and receive an exclusive whiskey tasting journal.
WhiskeyCast is a production of Cask Strength Media, copyright 2013, and comes to you each week from the charming, yet regrettably dry town of Haddonfield, New Jersey. I'm Mark Gillespie, wishing you the best for 2014 and reminding you that when you drink, please drink responsibly. Thanks for listening.